situations, you praise me and know that I have answered. And you praise and you worship me and you stand upon my word till you see the full manifestation come. For I sent it. I sent the answer the first day you ask. Just like when Daniel prayed, the first day he asked me, I sent the answer. But there ended up being a war in the heavens. There was a war because of the demonic forces that are holding back your answers. Not me. It's demonic forces that you come against when you praise me, when you worship me, when you worship me and don't say, oh God, why haven't you answered? Oh God, where's that? Oh God, oh God, oh God. No, it's praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of love in this place. We appreciate you being here and all of you that are watching online. And hallelujah. You had a good service Wednesday night. It was so wonderful, the teaching that Homer brought. And the tenses brought forth an absolute in our heart concerning that which has been accomplished in us. It was really, really good. We had a week of Brazil conference, and I spoke a couple times. It's finishing up this morning. It may be finished. Gary was doing the last service. We concluded last night with prayer and communion. It was a really wonderful week, and thank you for all of those who prayed and helped us this week in prayer. And hallelujah. Today is Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. It's the day that's normally recognized as the week where the Lord came in to Jerusalem, called the triumphal entry. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in a little bit. He was crucified just within a week, but I can tell you he's not still in the grave. Hallelujah. You can feel his presence this morning. He's very much alive and very much well, in good condition. I'm thinking about, and I've already decided, we're going to let our kids stay in here for just a little bit. I have a video. Do you have that ready? Because I want, this is, we've seen Dutch Sheets give us some exhortations before in the past. I thought he did a real good job on Palm Sunday. So just for the appreciation of what this day is, we're going to sit and listen to this. And then after this, we'll let our kids be dismissed. Okay, guys, if you could get the light. Good.
Hello, thank you for joining me today for Give Him 15. The title of today's post is Palm Sunday, the sound of the King. We are living in a Kairos moment, a window of time where heaven is intersecting with earth in a profound way. To help us understand where we're going, we can look back at one of the most strategic prophetic demonstrations in history, the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This wasn't just a parade. It wasn't a PR campaign for a new rabbi. It was a prophetic act of war and a legal claim to a throne. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, he wasn't just fulfilling a nice sentiment. He was executing a blueprint that had been written in heaven before the foundations of the world. In the ancient world, symbolism was very important to rulers, just as it is today. When Jesus approached Jerusalem, he chose his ride carefully. He didn't come on a war horse. In the tents, ask yourself, is Jesus truly my king inwardly? Have I laid down my garments, my reputation, my agenda, my will at his feet so he can ride on them? When we shout Hosanna, we aren't just asking for salvation, we're acknowledging his lordship. We are saying, Lord, rule in our day. Bring your kingdom alignment to the earth. Let's be a people who know the sound of our King. Let's be a people who don't just watch the parade, but who clear the way for his glory to enter our generation. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. Well, Father, he had some good declarations. Sorry we couldn't get that for you. I don't know what happened to the video, but something happened. Anyway, let's all stand again. Our kids can be being dismissed. Let's just worship a little bit more. Hallelujah. Lord, we rejoice in this day. Let's just rejoice and thank him. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Lord, you're so wonderful. Lord, we thank you for this Palm Sunday, Lord. It represents your triumphal entry. We exalt you, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus.
Worthy.
Let our kids get it. Let's worship just a little bit more. Rightful King, we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You can turn with me to Mark chapter 11. We're just going to go over just a little bit of what we just heard and then say some other things in relevance to. You can sit up there for a little bit. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God's doing something wonderful? It's stirring in our hearts a place of destiny and a place of purpose that seems like the further we go along in these last days that the Lord is asking more. He's asking more of who we are and what we're made of. There's a purging process, and it's happening for the purpose of how much more can he get done in these services and in our own life. So I'm just telling you, just yield to it. Hallelujah. And there's some powerful things that are on their way, and they're presently taking place. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. We're just going to read a little bit about his triumphal entry that we just heard about, and then make some comments as well about the relevance of our entry. Verse 1 in Mark chapter 11, verse 1, and said, "And when they had came nigh to Jerusalem, Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered, as ye be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he shall send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without the place where the two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought forth the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees. And one, I think in John's gospel, it says palm branches. So that's where a lot of times people get the Palm Sunday. And strewn them in the way. And they that went forth before, or went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What somebody, Mike, you know, what does Hosanna mean? Well, the actual meaning is save us. It's a word of adoration, but they were crying, Hosanna, save us. And for them, their salvation was not like what we were thinking of, what we think of, Lord, save us, as from out of darkness into light. They were thinking, Lord, this is a man that is coming, and we're looking for him to take us out of this political tyranny of the Jews. That was their primary, save us. Blessed be the kingdom of our father, they were shouting, our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. The word, as I said, Hosanna, means save us. It's amazing that the same crowd that was saying on that Sunday, save us, was the same crowd within 4 or 5 days that were crying, crucify him, crucify him. And his popularity didn't go too long. But the king rides in on, as you heard this morning, and as we well know, on a donkey, meek and lowly. You know, Jesus is that unto us. He becomes a king in our life by reason of choice. But he comes in to us in a meek and lowly position. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy laden. And it really, he was talking primarily about the law. But we understand who he is by knowing this, that he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden with sin, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. So there we see this king riding in. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But he's coming into this city of habitation. And Jesus will not, let me say it this way, Jesus won't push himself on you. Do you understand that? Somebody might be in here this morning and say, well, I'd like to have as much of the Lord as Homer. I'd like to have as much as Pastor Bronk. Please don't put me up there. But here's the thing. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. Once you leave this building, the king is in front of you, and it's up to you. It's your choice to embrace him or not to embrace him. How much of God you want, you're the one who decides on that. Jesus wept over Jerusalem in that same, right after that, in Matthew 23:37. You don't have to turn there. Jesus said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as the hen would gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now I want you to imagine that this is the Passion Week that starts today. Next Sunday we're going to have communion together. And so get ready to come in here and have communion together and celebrate the Lord's resurrection. But can you imagine that here comes this king in on a lowly donkey, and he knows this. He knows this is his last week of life on the earth, as well he's going to be resurrected. But he realizes that what he has lived his entire life for, from cradle to grave, is about to take place. And so he realizes that all of these surrounding elements of the praises of the people is soon going to come to an end. Because this man that had lived a sinless life was the only candle on the earth. He was the only light. You know, John knew him better than probably anybody else, because everybody else thought that he was coming to put together a political kingdom. But John knew this. He said, I bear record that I saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And he said, this is the Lamb. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So we understand this, that Jesus, that John understood Jesus more than anyone else. The only man in 4,000 years, the only man in 4,000 years with spiritual life in himself. And you say, he's the only man. What do you mean? Well, the light of humanity went out when Adam committed high treason. When Satan came into the garden and tempted Eve, and Adam gave himself over. Adam was the Son of God, just like we, the first. But Jesus became the only begotten Son, the only one that came through the womb that was ever born spiritually alive. Adam, when he committed high treason, the light that was in humanity went out, and he died. He didn't die physically, he died spiritually that day. And God had to wait 4,000 years to get Jesus in the earth. But he came. Are you glad? Hallelujah. But this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords rides in on a donkey, meek and lowly. Not on a stallion. Have you heard Dutch say the next time he comes back, he's going to come in on a stallion? But it's evident that as he came into Jerusalem, it's the precursor. It's the same way that he comes to us. He comes wooing. First at born again, and then in the rest of your life, Christ comes wooing you. How much of me do you want? How much of me will you receive? As I said, the only man, Romans 5:12, you don't have to turn there. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all men had sinned, for all men have sinned. Sin passed on because of Adam's transgression in the garden. You and I, we were born spiritually dead because sin passed upon all of us because of the first sin. Jesus was different. He was born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. He was the Son of God, deity that came from heaven, but his human spirit did not come from Mary. That life came from God. And that life was the light of men. John says this in John 1:1-5, it's recording him, talking about our Savior. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now somebody said, in the beginning, what beginning? Our beginning, creation. And this is going back and explaining Jesus before he came to earth. But then in verse 5, it shares that he became humanity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who? Christ. Colossians tells us all things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist, and he was before all things. So can you imagine this? The molecular structure of this pulpit was made by Jesus. The donkey that he's riding on was made by Jesus. And yet he's riding in meek and lowly and offering, about to offer himself up to all humanity. How low can you go in that sense, and offering yourself up and asking humanity, will you receive? Will you receive the light that has come into the world? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. You know, Adam lost his life, not his physical life. It was 900 years later or something like that that Adam died. But he lost the moment that he listened to Satan. And actually, Eve was deceived. Adam committed high treason. He looked into the face of what he saw and said, you know, God said that we'll surely die, but I'm looking at Eve and she didn't die. Well, she did die. She did die spiritually. But Adam judged the circumstances based on his senses. Good lesson for us. Don't judge anything except through this word. Through the power of this word. Don't judge it through your reasonings, through knowledge of man. But the word says here that in him, Christ, was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh. Hallelujah. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was full of what? Grace and truth. Will you say that with me? Jesus was full of grace and truth. Now the word rides in on this donkey, but listen to what the psalmist said concerning, and I was putting this, and the Lord brought this particular scripture, I believe, to David prophesies, or some say this is about the ark coming into Jerusalem. Other scholars say that it's about Christ coming in. But listen to this psalm. In Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 through 10, it says, and the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah, lift up. Now, here's Jesus coming in. I want you to picture this. And this is I want you to see this, and we're going to use this psalm this morning prophetically. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Jesus was the King of glory coming in to this city on Palm Sunday. The question is the King of glory, has he come into your city? Amen. Somebody said, well, yeah, I'm saved. Has he come in the King of glory? Amen. Is he come in the sense of the word that he's not just someone on the pages of a book, but is the Jesus in heaven real to you here? The spiritual Jesus. Is he living as the King of glory that has come in? And the gates have been opened up, your spiritual gates, your heart, your all of your who you are has been opened up into him. The word says here, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll whip your sicknesses. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll whip the spirit that's trying to invade your home of division and fear and torment. Hallelujah. The King of glory. Sometimes I think sometimes we just need to go to the house, open the door and say, King of glory, I know you're here, but come on in. Amen. Hallelujah. Exercise your full authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how do we do that? Well, one of the things that we teach around here is all the four limbs. Somebody said, well, what's the four limbs? Prayer, meditation of God's word, worship, and the one that you love the most that I know all of you are going to do this afternoon is fasting. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there. You can just mark it. But Ecclesiastes 8:4 says this. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Hallelujah. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? So you've come into the kingdom. You've been born again. You've been filled, many of you, with the Holy Spirit. The final say-so is what the word of the king is, what he says. And so we understand that for that to take place, it has to be exercised. You have to be the one who says it. He's not going to, this word is only going to be exercised through your mouth. Hallelujah. And where the king is at, there is power. Where the word of the king is at. 1 Timothy 1:17 and 18 says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He says to Timothy, this I charge and commit thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Everybody say good warfare. For him to say to Timothy that now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, that we are to war a good warfare, it's understood that there is a warfare. It should be understood that there is a good warfare that you can exercise, or a bad warfare. In other words, which one are you doing? Are you taking the word of a king as final authority and saying over every area in my life and over my family's life, Lord, you've come. You've come to lord over. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you more than anything else to be praying the mysteries. It's praying in tongues, speaking in tongues on a daily basis. Getting into the Word of God. Staying focused so that you're able to speak the Word of the King. We haven't in a long while. I asked Gay to come this morning. We haven't declared over our city in a long time together as a church our declaration of war. The king has come in to Immokalee, and we're believing God for revival. Gay, would you come, and would you stand with us this morning as we speak the confessions that we started out with over this city, revival confessions, kingdom of God confessions. I think it's somewhere in there. Hallelujah. We'll be back in just a few moments just to speak some more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. You are not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore we say, your glory is present here at the Family Prayer Center. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. Demoniacs are set free. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. Thousands and thousands are born again every week here at the Family Prayer Center. While we are able to get along with each other as our Father works revival in our midst. Father, your glory fills every service. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. We leave as earthen vessels filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. We carry your presence with us. We carry revival around this world. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel, only yours. It's the gospel that saves, the gospel that fills, the gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Blind, see. Sick, be healed. Lame, walk. Deaf, hear. Dumb, speak. Maimed, be whole. Dead, live. In the name of Jesus. Father, that's your gospel. We settle for nothing less. We are going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The sick are healed. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The maimed are made whole. And even the dead are raised. In the name of Jesus. To your glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, we lift up the bloodstained banner over this city, written in blood. On this banner are these words: Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. And where Jesus is Lord, the Father's will is done. Therefore, Father, have your way. Not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. And again we say, lost be saved, empty be filled, captives go free, sick be healed, blind see, deaf hear, dumb speak, lame walk, maimed be whole, dead live, in the name of Jesus. For Father, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, forever and ever. Father, your will be done in Immokalee, just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. As in heaven, so in a Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is saved. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lead us in song. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.